One of our board members is Pastor Fred Daniel at Brookhaven Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. I appreciate Brother Fred. I appreciate his passion for people. He genuinely has a heart for others, and I appreciate that about him. Brother Fred Daniel, if you'd come and talk to us today and preach to us about the eternal weight of glory as it affected the life of Abel.
Thank you, John. God bless you. My highlight each year is to be at Family Fellowship Week. I appreciate Brother Danny coming up with this idea a few years ago, and it encourages my heart. And I'm always encouraged to see the young missionary couples, and I'm always excited that I'm not the oldest one here. Ruby Kersey and Herb played a great part in my life in introducing me to Worldwide. Dalton Heath was the one that told me I ought to get really involved. Pastor Wingard kept me from quitting the ministry about 34 years ago and exercised a little confidence in me when I was totally discouraged about a work that I was at. And I just love Worldwide. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization. I felt so sorry yesterday as John embarrassed his mother here in this room. So I had lunch with her yesterday, and I said, Mrs. O'Malley, I've known you a number of years, and I can't conceive of any idea of you moving to Kings Mountain other than just to serve the Lord. And she said, yes. And I said, John's not the favorite child, is he? We talked about that for a while, and I can picture that she's just there to keep an eye on him. But I have to be totally candid and honest. She then said, John has always been a good boy. Let's pray for Sister O'Malley. I think she's slipping a little bit. John's asked me to go to Hebrews 11:4, so I'd like you to get your smart device, punch your Bible application, search for Hebrews 11, scroll down to verse 4. We need to come into the 21st century and stop this stuff of preaching that you ought to carry a paper Bible. There's been times I didn't have a paper Bible, and I had my phone, and it's got the King James on it, and I've ministered to people off of an iPhone, and if you don't prefer not to do that, that's okay. I had a guy tell me, he said, you don't understand, Preacher Fred, I can highlight in my paper Bible. I said, I can highlight in my iPad Bible. Well, I can write notes in my Bible. I said, I can too. And it's just a matter of preference. I've got one advantage over other people who don't use these. My iPad Bible right now is in a 36 font. And that helps when you reach the age where I've gotten to. Let's read Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he, Abel, obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Lord, I pray you'd help us in these brief moments to do justice to your word. Help us to say the things that are right, and anything that this preacher says that's not right, I pray you'd erase it from all of our minds, and that you would just use these moments to help us in Christ's name. Amen. Here's a man we know very little about. The first thing that comes to our mind, I think, when we hear the name Abel is that his brother killed him. I have four brothers, and a few years ago, Tim and I buried one of our brothers. I can see that cemetery. I've got a weird side to me about cemeteries. When it's my church people, I stay until everything's finished. And I go to the house and say, the funeral home did a good job. One time I made them pull a casket up. And the funeral director said, what's wrong? I said, you got it turned the wrong way. He said, preacher, don't nobody know but you and me. And I said, well, half of that problem is that I know, and I'm going to tell. And they pulled it up and turned it around. When we buried Lane, the cemetery had the process where the vault is attached up under the rack, the casket set in it, the lid is sealed on, and then they lowered the vault and casket together in the grave. And when they lowered Lane, his vault and casket floated. There had been days of rain there in Wilson, and the water was about 10 inches below the surface. And every time I think about Lane's funeral, that's what I think about. But he's with the Lord. He just left the shell there. We buried Dad. Probably my greatest friend, my greatest male friend on earth, is my brother Tim. I'd hate to think he and I had a problem where I'd think about killing him. I can't imagine anything that would cause that. These two boys, when you read Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that Eve conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from God. She knew about the coming of the Messiah. She knew the mess that she had created and her husband had created for humanity. And she believed, rightfully so, if Messiah was going to come in human form, he had to come from their lineage. And she thought she had the Messiah when she had Cain. Boy, was she fooled. Okay? Now, some Bible scholars, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I can look up a lot of stuff. And a lot of scholars read that passage, said, and she conceived and bare Cain. But there's no more conceptions mentioned there, and it says, and then she bare Abel, and some believe that these boys were actually twins. The only thing worse I can think of killing your brother is killing your twin brother. There's a bond, they tell us, between twins. It's just different. Well, I'm not going to, as John said yesterday, that's conjecture. But boy, let's just think for a minute. What if he was his twin? What could have gotten into this man's heart to kill his brother? Well, Abel was a picture of Christ. I read one commentator said, faith is confidence in God that leads to obedience to God. True faith is based on what God says and is demonstrated in what you do. People with faith do things for God, and then God does things for them. Now, I'm going to make a confession to you. Beth and I try to live for the Lord the best we can. We mess up here and there. It's mostly her that messes up, but just kidding. But we have seen the Lord take care of us for 30-some years, 36, 37 years. Just a few weeks ago, we're down to one vehicle right now. We're driving a Jeep. Thank God for pastors that drive Jeeps. And we've tried to be faithful and do what we're supposed to everywhere. We spend a lot of money on missions and going places to serve the Lord. And we've just sort of done without some things. And I had a missionary call me and he said, preacher, the Lord's laid on my wife's heart and me. And we're going to give you a beautiful limited edition Lincoln Town Car. Now, it didn't take me long to say, well, we'll take it. I've just prayed about it and we're going to take it. That thing is beautiful, candy apple red, white leather seats. It's got all this stuff on it. We're going to take it. We're going to take delivery next week. Amen. I'm going to look like Russ Bell driving. God will take care of you. Richard Sibes calls Hebrews 11 a little book of martyrs. And then he goes on to say, this galaxy of saints is arrayed simply in order not to exalt their virtues. Indeed, all of them were sinners who made mistakes and at times grieved God. The Bible does not seek to mock us when it outlines the achievement of these great characters. It records the truth about them so that, amongst other things, we recognize that they were ordinary people who, by God's grace alone, were enabled to do extraordinary things. And I've watched God do extraordinary things through worldwide families. I will tell you this about John. John's on the leading edge in mission business. I'm not teasing. John is on the edge. I was talking with a representative from Baptist Mid 2 months ago, and he said, so what do you guys do to stay in contact with your missionaries? And I told him about what John's been doing with these phone calls and stuff. And the guy's chin dropped, and he said, well, why didn't Baptist Mid think of that? I said, because we are on the leading edge. You know what Baptist Mid is now doing? Same thing John set us up to do. I like what John Moffat said about Abel, and we're going to get to him here in just a second. But he said this, death is never the last word in the life of a righteous man. Amen. When a man leaves this world, be he righteous or unrighteous, he leaves something in this world. He may leave something that will grow and spread like cancer or like a poison, or he may leave something like the fragrance of perfume or a blossom of beauty that permeates the atmosphere with blessing. We're going to look at one such man who left a wonderful thing. There's three things I want you to see from this text in Hebrews 11. I would like to go read all of Genesis 4 to you. We're just going to have to hit portions of that as we go. Three things I want you to see today from this passage about the man Abel and how he left an impact on this world that's going to endure, and how he worked for that greater glory, the eternal glory, in whatever years he had. We don't know how long this man lived. First of all, our passage says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I want you to see the testimony of his offering. Now, boy, what if the Lord just flashed all of our normal giving up on a screen? Now, I understand the sacrificial offerings were part of worship at that time, and Abel gave his very best to God. Abel and Cain both knew that God required a blood sacrifice. That was true from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, all the way through the Old Testament and to the New Testament, and one lamb was finally offered that was sufficient, and his blood was shed. And every Sunday that we have the Lord's table, we do this in remembrance of him. For as oft you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, which was fully symbolized, and not symbolized, but actually made effectual in the fact that the blood was the proof that that death had taken place. God asked for a blood sacrifice. Abel knew it. Cain knew it. Cain did not show faith, and his offering was rejected. God witnessed to Abel's faith by accepting his sacrifice and his witness. Hebrews 9:22 says, all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And Genesis 4, I'm just going to quickly read this. You can turn if you want. Chapter 4, verse 3. In the process of time, it came that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And I can see a cornucopia of just stuff piled up all over the place. He's proud of his gardening abilities. He's proud of what he's done. He forgot who provided the soil, the seed, and the rain. Amen. But Abel, in verse 4, he also brought, and I didn't see this till John assigned it to me, he brought of the firstlings, plural, of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but to Cain and his offering he had not respect. And instantly Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The blood sacrifice was to be a reminder of what God had done for Adam and Eve. He said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they did die. I know they died spiritually. They died physically too, by substitution. Those animals were sacrificed and the blood was shed, and there was a substitutionary death for them. And this sacrifice was to be a reminder of that forgiveness that God had given. And it's to be a forecast of Jesus coming and shedding his blood. How you give as a believer is very important to God. Abel's sacrifice was accepted because of his faith in believing and obeying God. It was made at the right time. It was made the right way. And Cain's sacrifice was rejected by God because of his works. And those works were not sufficient. The difference between these two men's offerings was that Abel gave what God wanted. Ultimately, Cain gave what he wanted to. Abel was obedient. Cain was disobedient. Abel acknowledged his sin by his giving, and Cain did not. Abel ultimately, eventually, for God and because of God, gave his own life and his own blood. You know what? Some of you may do that. Our son Fred III and Brittany and seven little people live within 8 miles of an ISIS camp. Twice in our visits to them, we have seen the military surround that camp and battles ensue, and ISIS people have been killed within sight of his house. The drug cartel is all around him, and a six-year-old boy gave his life down the street from Fred's family a few months ago because his daddy didn't pay his drug bill. And they drown him in one of the irrigation canals there. You know what? We may read one day that one of you precious people here will have given a child or your wife or your husband. And it just won't make sense to us. But we need to settle that in advance. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And you've done that. If you signed up with Worldwide. But God may require the physical sacrifice as well. Nate Saint, Jim Elliott. What a waste of life. No, sir. The whole village has come to Christ. Testimonies have encouraged others to serve. Abel gave the ultimate sacrifice for the Lord and because of his testimony for the Lord. Your sacrifice should be according to God's plan and God's will. Now, I hope we don't have to bury any of you for the cause of Christ. But what a glorious testimony if we do. Abel gave the right testimony in what he was willing to give to his Lord. There's a second thing in this passage. In the middle of verse 4, it says, by doing what he did, he obtained witness that he was righteous. Not only did he have a testimony in his offering, he had a testimony that he obtained. Abel got the best commendation from God, and God said this man had true righteousness. What did he do to get God to say that? This is simple, but in our day and age, this has become profound. Abel simply obeyed God. The only thing that attained righteousness for Abel was faith. He did what God told him to do. That is the only thing that changes a man's relationship to God. It's not how good we are, but whether or not we trust him that counts with God. And that trust is evidenced in obedience to his word. Abel was just as sinful as Cain. But it's quite possible, even likely, that Abel was a nicer person than Cain. He could have been more moral and more dependable and more honest and even more likable than Cain. It was not, however, these qualities that made his sacrifice acceptable or the lack of those qualities that made Cain's offering unacceptable. The difference was the way in which the sacrifice was made. One was made in obedient faith, the other made in disobedient unbelief. Dr. John Phillips. John 3:8-31 says this, Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Often, and even a few years ago, at our church, John chose Jude and contending for the faith as the theme for that week. And Jude tells us very clearly, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That was not Abel. That was Cain. Think about this and what we just read in this brief section of this verse 4. He obtained witness that he was righteous. Well, who was his witness? God himself was the legal witness of the giving of Abel. And God's watching what every one of us are doing. Okay? I look around this room and some of these men, Pastor Wingard and Danny and John and others who've represented this mission have traveled this world. I don't know that they've ever given a thought that they might be killed. You better give that thought today. Okay? But they put their lives right out there for the Lord. Some of you are going to places where you may be severely tested. God's your witness. He's watching how you're going to respond. God saw how Abel sacrificed. God sees yours and my responses. He will testify about your sacrifices either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. And I hope you're going to be there at the great white throne, but I hope you're sitting with Christ. Amen. God himself announces to you and me that Abel was righteous. He invested in eternity, not in this world. This word righteous refers to one who acts conformably to the justice and the right without deficiency. God himself acknowledged the saving faith of Abel because Abel did exactly what God told him to do. In Matthew 23, Jesus said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, as he's condemning these Pharisees and Jews, and he mentions somebody, starting with the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias. 1 John 3:12, we're told, not as Cain, this is a disturbing phrase, who was of that wicked one, and he slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. God bore witness to Abel's righteousness by accepting his gifts. There's a missionary to the Philippines named Tom Ashley. He put me onto a man named Raymond Brown. You need to buy two books. There's only a couple he wrote. One is a commentary on Leviticus, and the other one is a commentary on Hebrews. Brother Brown was the dean of the pastor's college out of Spurgeon's church. It's a wonderful book. He says, Cain's religion, too refined to slay a lamb, was not too refined to slay his brother. Thus, the world's first false religion manifested its true character in the persecution of true faith. Sacrifice is acceptable to God not for its material content, but insofar as the outward expression of a devoted and obedient heart. Abel died by the hand of his brother and became a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing I want you to see about Abel is his ongoing testimony. This verse 4 ends with this, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, Abel, being dead, is still speaking. Well, what is God saying? For 6,500 years, Abel's still preaching. I got news for you. He's going to be preaching for all eternity because this Bible is the eternal word of God, and I somehow got this feeling we're going to be studying it in the millennium. for 1,000 years. And I really think we're going to study it for eternity. This word testifying about God says to give an approving account. It is God Almighty that gives this testimony that Abel invested for the long haul. Abel's death was a tragic death in the fact that he died, but in Genesis 4:10, there's a word there that now bothers me, and I found out what it means. All right, when we translate from language to language, things don't always go exactly right. Because when we say sheep in English, it could be one or it could be 1,000. Okay? Now, we don't have geese the same way. It's goose and geese, so we know. But sheep and sheep can be plural or singular. And when God said in verse 10, "What hast thou done, Cain? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." If you will look this up, it doesn't take much. The word blood there is plural. And God held Cain accountable not for killing a man, but for killing a line of people. And he said, "Bloods are speaking from the ground for what you've done." Abel's life has eternally influenced believers because of his giving. It still speaks. He still speaks. This says three things about him. Man comes to God by faith, not works. Man must accept and obey God's revelation above his own reason and will. And sin is severely punished. Missionaries, invest your life for eternity. The best way you can invest your life leaving this world is investing it in others. May God bless you to do it.